Thank you for taking time to listen to a message that was given at the Bridge Church in Bradenton, Florida. It's an honor to serve you, and we hope that you'll grow and be encouraged by today's message.
We have started a series last week called Unreal, as we looked at the death and the burial of resurrection of Jesus Christ, and whether or not that's really reasonable. Does it make sense to believe in it? Can you, as a thinking, intelligent human being, say, well, that's really reasonable to believe in? Or is it one of those things that kind of falls in the area of a myth? Because if it's a myth, it's just unreal. But if it's true, man, it's unreal, because it will change your life. It changes everything to know that your sins are forgiven and to know that Jesus Christ is alive and wants to have a relationship with you. That's a game changer. To know that God would love you so much to send his son to die on a cross for you, and that through this relationship with Christ, life can be all fresh in a start again, a whole fresh beginning for all of us. And you know, for people that are, for those of you that may find yourself in that category where you go, you know, hey, I like church, I like Jesus, I like the thought of Jesus, I like the teachings of Jesus, but honestly, I do have a hard time because I'm wired very logically. I tend to look at things a little bit differently. I'm very scientific, and it's hard for me to embrace the idea that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It's hard for me in my kind of a scientific mind to be able to wrap my mind around that, and I'm not sure that I'm there. I'd like to be there. I would like to believe, but there are just questions that I've had within me that I have never been able to ask, and they're just there. And because of that, you know, though I want to believe, it's very difficult for me. But I would really like to be able to ask questions or talk about these things from an intellectual standpoint. You know, if that's where you're at, man, this is a great night for you. And let me just tell you, that is, a lot of people are like that. As a matter of fact, the whole reason that I did this series is because I keep running into it more and more. People that want to believe, but go, I just have some real questions that have never been answered, and I'm very, very intelligent. I think through things. You know, I just don't buy them just because people say it, and I'd really like to know. And sometimes, let's face it, the Christian community doesn't necessarily make it any easier. When you open up the newspaper and, you know, one of the first articles on the front page is that a lady found a little goldfish cracker with a little X in it, and that's a sign from God, and now she's got in a jewelry box and it makes the news. Or another person who puts their tortilla on eBay because the scorch marks on it look like Jesus on the side. Or people line up to look at a shadow of Jesus on the side of a refrigerator. Or within the past couple decades, we had a church here across town that when the water system would hit the side of the building and it would dry, they said it looked like Jesus or the Virgin Mary. I can't remember which one. And people lined up and just created all kinds of stuff to come and see this sign of the way the water dried on the side of the building. And can I just tell you, if that stuff makes you go, man, you guys, they're just kind of, the Christians are a little crazy sometimes, and so I'm not sure that I ever want to believe like that. Let me just say this. I don't blame you one bit, honestly. I mean, that those kind of things, you have to kind of set that aside as kind of a fringe thing. You just got to take that and set that aside. And I just want to invite you to begin to kind of look at things from a different perspective. Now, so a lot of you are going to go, well, hey, I'm already a Christian. I already believe. I don't need to go through all this. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that you and I, as believers, are supposed to be able to give a reason why we believe what we do. And a lot of your friends are people that are very scientifically minded, and they have a struggle understanding how you can believe what you believe. And it is your opportunity to be able to engage in an intelligent conversation with them. Some of you are students, and I guarantee you, students, you're going to have friends that are like searching for meaning and asking questions, and you have an opportunity to engage with them in a way that is intelligent and makes sense to help them to understand that faith in Jesus Christ really makes a lot more sense than what a lot of people realize. And so tonight, if you're a believer, the way I want you to be able to approach this whole thing is as a time of equipping. Can you engage in an intelligent conversation with somebody who's honestly seeking and really wants to know, but they're having a hard time getting past a few things? I hope that's what you're able to do by the time we get done tonight, all right? So let's do this. Let's kind of look at how you're wired. You are made up of different parts, right? You're made up of heart, you're made up of body, you're made up of spirit, right? You're made up of soul, and you're made up of a mind. And the fact is God created you and wants you to be able to know him and experience him with your whole being. God does not intend for you to turn off your brain in order to believe. He wants you to be able to engage with him with all that you are. He created you the way you are. There's a reason you have a mind. God wants you to use it. And it's a part of how to connect with him. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 22:37, when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Read this with me. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In other words, don't leave your brain outside. Bring it with you. Believe with everything. So let's take a look at some reasons that are sometimes given to reject Christianity in favor of science. Here's a line that you will sometimes come across. Someone will say this, I believe in science and reason rather than faith. I'm a person of science and reason, and so I look at the choice between science and reason or faith. Well, that's actually an artificial argument. We would call that a false dichotomy. You're pitting two things against each other that aren't fighting against each other. They're actually more closely related than you realize. To say that I believe in science and reason, therefore I reject faith, is like saying I reject the color white because my favorite number is the number one. They're just not even, there's no comparison between the two. And let me tell you why. Because the fact is anything that you believe in is an act of faith. When you open up your physics book and you read what it says and you believe what it says, you're putting your faith in the writers of the physics book. When you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, when you listen to Carl Sagan or read Carl Sagan stuff, and you say, I believe that, you're placing your faith in what it is that they tell you. When you get in your automobile and you're driving to the grocery store and you believe that you're going to get to the grocery store, you are acting upon faith. Life is lived by faith. Everything that we believe in, everything that we do is an act of faith. It's not something that you turn off in order to embrace something else. It's the way that we view everything. Even the person who is an atheist has faith. They have faith in their philosophy. Everybody lives by faith. So there's no battle between the two. That's an artificial conflict. Here's the second thing. When you look at this statement, that modern, intelligent, and well-educated people don't believe in God. Now, let me just tell you, this outline, much of what you see here today, came from a pastor named Timothy Keller, who planted a church in Manhattan where the average degree is a master's degree. Timothy Keller wrote a book called The Reason for God. It's listed at the end of your outline. So if you want to go deeper and farther with this stuff, make sure you get the book that's at the end of the outline. Timothy Keller would preach on Sundays and then spend 2 hours answering questions to all these well-educated people. That's how he planted his church. That church is something like 6,000 people today. And they've planted many other churches, people with advanced degrees, modern, intelligent people coming to faith in Christ. And let me give you an example of somebody in particular who definitely qualifies for this. There's a guy named Francis Collins, and he is associated with what is known as the Human Genome Project. Did anybody ever hear of the Human Genome Project? Okay, one of the grandest, largest scale research projects in history. Involved nations, involved scientists all around the world, where they took all of the DNA and all of those combinations and basically decoded the human race, is what they did. took years to complete it. The head of that here in the United States was Francis Collins. Here are his credentials. He got his undergraduate in chemistry from the University of Virginia. He got his PhD in physical chemistry from Yale. And then he went on to get his MD in genetics from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. In 2009, President Obama nominated him to the position of the director of the National Institutes of Health, and the Senate unanimously confirmed him for that position. So well respected, so well known in his field. Here's his story. He wrote, "I went off to be a graduate student in quantum mechanics at Yale, where I concluded that all of this stuff about religion and faith was a carryover from an earlier irrational time. And now that science had begun to figure out how things really work, we didn't need it anymore. I think you wouldn't have enjoyed having lunch with me when I was in that phase, because my mission was to ferret out the squishy thinking on the part of people around me and to try to point out to them that they really ought to get over all that emotional stuff and face up to the fact that there really wasn't anything except what you could measure. I finished up my graduate degree in quantum mechanics, but I decided to go to medical school as a way of trying to explore the more human side of science, namely biology. When he was there, he met with a minister who gave him a book by former atheist C.S. Lewis, a book called Mere Christianity. He said, to my surprise, I found myself fairly easily compelled by his arguments about the existence of some sort of God, because even as a scientist, I had to admit that we had no idea how the universe got started. The hard part for me was the idea of a personal God who has an interest in humankind. And the argument that Lewis made there, the one that I think was most surprising, most earth-shattering, and most life-changing, is the argument about the existence of the moral law, your conscience. How is it that we and all of the members of our species, unique in the animal kingdom, know what's right and what's wrong? In every culture one looks at, that knowledge is there. Where did that come from? I reject the ideas that this is an evolutionary consequence, because that moral law sometimes tells us that the right thing to do is very self-destructive. If I'm walking down the riverbank and a man is drowning, even if I don't know how to swim very well, I feel this urge that the right thing to do is to try to save that person. Evolution would tell me exactly the opposite. Preserve your DNA. Who cares about the guy who's drowning? He's one of the weaker ones. Let him go. It's your DNA that needs to survive. And yet, that's not what's written on my heart. Lewis argues that if you're looking for evidence of a God who cares about us as individuals, where could you more likely look than within your own heart at the very simple concept of what's right and what's wrong? And there it is. Not only does it tell you something about the fact that there is a spiritual nature that is somehow written within our hearts, but it also tells you something about the nature of God himself, which is that he is a good and holy God. What we have there is a glimpse of what he stands for. And you see, this atheist scientist became a believer when he said, how do you explain the fact that people care and know about what's right and what's wrong? Because animals aren't wired that way, and nothing else is. There's something that's different. Modern, intelligent, and well-educated people do believe in God. Some do, some don't. Now, you could even go back in history, and one of the most brilliant men in history was Sir Isaac Newton, who brought us the laws of thermodynamics. As a matter of fact, he invented calculus as we know it because he got stuck in his research, so he invented this whole area of math so that he could continue. Now, first of all, I hate him because he invented math. Are you with me on that? Let's just hate him for that, okay? But you got to sit there. I mean, who invents math, right? Who invents math? But he's one of the most brilliant men that has ever lived. And you know something? He had a strong faith in Jesus Christ. Many scientists, many brilliant minds, what happens is they don't start out believing, but the more that they learn in their research and the more they are in awe of the way things are put together, that becomes the very thing that actually leads them to God. So modern, intelligent, and well-educated people don't believe in God. It's not true. They do. They do. Here's the third one. Faith is a product of evolution. That is, we produced this idea because it helped us to survive, but it's not actually true. Well, the difficulty with that line of argument is if you're going to apply that, you've got to apply it consistently to all ideas that have helped to preserve mankind. And to say that it's not true just because it helped us to survive is to dismiss a whole lot of other ideas too. You can't apply that one logically. Here's a common one. People think that evolution disproves the Bible. They see it as a either or, but evolution is still a theory. And on a scientific, biological level, there is no conflict with seeing God working through natural processes. There's no conflict there. Matter of fact, we understand that there are things like adaptation of species. So if you take a moth with dark brown wings and he lands on a tree trunk, and you take a moth with gray wings and he lands on a tree trunk, and a bird is hungry, he's going to pick off the gray one because he sees it more easily. And because of that, the ones with the brown wing trait will tend to become dominant then. And that species then adapts to its environment. We know that that's true. We know that there is that kind of adaptation. There are natural processes that are in place. There's no reason to see a conflict completely between the two. Sometimes we make it too black or white. And remember, evolution itself is still just a theory. It's not fact, as though some say it is. Here's the fifth reason sometimes given to reject Christianity. Because people will say that miracles are impossible and are spiritual myths. Miracles are impossible. You guys, you can't believe that stuff. Because those things are impossible. Well, here's the thing you have to keep in mind. That science is designed to address and explain natural causes, right? That's what it's designed for. It's one thing to say that miracles are outside the scope of scientific measurement. It's another thing to say that anything outside the scope of scientific measurement can't exist. For instance, if I walk up here and I have a compass in my hand, and I say, man, this compass is an awesome instrument. It tells me north, south, east, west, and all points in between. I love it. This is a great tool. It's my favorite tool. I like carrying it wherever I go. It's a great tool for telling me direction, but it won't help me at all to detect earthquake activity, right? I mean, it's not a seismograph. Why? Because it's not designed to detect that. And so I can't say that just because my compass is my way of knowing my way around that I don't believe in earthquakes because it doesn't register on my compass. You see, to say that miracles are outside the scope of scientific measurement, that's a reasonable statement. But to say that anything that can't be measured can't exist is an awfully big leap. It's an awfully big leap. To say that if it can't be measured, if it can't be repeated, that it can't exist, is to say something that is really way out there. Here's the other thing, is that, as I said last week, when you had people that were eyewitnesses to miracles and they lost everything to believe, how can we, 2,000 years later, go, I can make a better judgment on whether or not those were real 2,000 years later than the people who saw them firsthand? See, if you take that position, I think you have to admit that there's kind of an arrogance to say that I know better 2,000 years than firsthand witnesses 2,000 years ago that saw the events. I just think you have to be intellectually honest about those things. So what are some reasons why believing in Christianity deserves special consideration even for the scientific mind? Here's a few things I want you to take a look at. Number one is this. Darwinism. Does everybody know what Darwinism is? A survival of the fittest, right? Darwinism ultimately reduces life to an accidental, meaningless existence. To say that whatever is strongest will survive and everything else dies, and that's the way it should be. That's just the cycle of how things work. If you apply that as a philosophy to everything, Darwinistic philosophy, we call that. If you apply that to everything that you look at, it really reduces life to an accidental and meaningless existence. If you believe that all we are here for is to exist and to have kids and to die, and then there's nothing, why is it that people have such a longing for meaning? Why is it that people long for love? Why is it that people look for purpose in life? Why is it that somebody can be like winning on the evolutionary scale? They've got all the money, they've got all the power, they've got all the fame, they got everything going for them, and yet they find a profound emptiness inside of them. Why is that? You see, there's more to us than just physical and biological existence. There's something deeper inside of us. And Darwinism can't address that. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, faith in him, it's the only thing that explains and fulfills our desire for love, for hope, and for meaning, and for purpose. It's the only thing that does. It really is something that you should consider. Here's another one. It would be logical for a supernatural creator who desires to be known to reveal himself through miracles. They're not a suspension of natural order, but rather a restoration of natural order as God originally designed it. Let me explain that. The scriptures tell us that God created everything in a beginning, and not only was it good, but it was very good. There was no sickness, there was no sin, there was no pain, there was no crime, there was no murder, there was none of that. It was paradise. And then because of rebellion, sin came in a world, and now we live in this time where there's sickness, there's crime, there's darkness, there's all this stuff that we live with. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns, he is going to bring about the restoration of all things, where again, there's no more crying, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more disease. There won't be the word cancer, guys. There's not going to be the word AIDS. There's not going to be any of that stuff. Everything is going to be made beautiful. Everything is going to be perfect. He says he's going to restore all things. Now, if you invented the world, and you wanted to reveal that your son was really who he said he was as the Son of God, miracles then don't become something where God turned off reality and did something just totally out of the box. But what he was doing was not suspending the natural order of things, but giving us a glimpse of what the restoration of those natural processes was going to look like. He gave a glimpse of what it looks like when sin and death no longer have control over someone's life. And so he raised people from the dead. And so he healed the sick. He did those miracles because what God was doing was sending Jesus to give a glimpse of what the restoration of everything was going to look like when he was going to come back a second time. If you are God, it is perfectly logical that you would do that, to help people to believe that this one, Jesus Christ, really was the Son of God. It's logical. It's rational. And it is perfectly consistent with what the scriptures show. So the idea of miracles, you need to consider that Jesus did and the apostles did, they make sense when you understand what it is that God wanted to communicate. That is, that the message that we carry, the hope that we preach, is the same hope that leads to the restoration of all things. It makes sense. And you need to consider that. Here's another thing. The intricate, interdependent, and delicate balance of nature points much more to a designer than to development by pure chance. Now think about that. I mean, even as a little boy in Wisconsin, sitting down playing by the creek when I was in fourth grade, skipping stones, And I was thinking about science class where we have that model of our solar system with the big sun in the middle and then a rod and then Venus and then another rod and another planet. Mercury was the first one. And then all the other planets. I'm not going to name them all because I don't know them all in order, okay? So anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? That model, and it shows the orbits of all the planets. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about this thing. And suddenly I look at this goldfinch. And I go, what does that goldfinch eat? And I see the thing get a bug. And I go, wow, that's cool. What does the bug eat? And what eats the goldfinch? And I began to think about these interconnected, delicate ecosystems that were all in place. And I went, the Earth has all these things. The other planets have none of it. And we were all a part of the same explosion. And when you look at all of the delicate, interconnected natural processes, suddenly the idea that it had to have a designer makes sense, because if you pull any of those things out, if you pull out the food for the finch, there's no more finch. You pull out the food for the bug, there's no more bugs. And then the finches die. And that whole cycle begins to break down. And when you look at these interconnected things, it points much more to a designer than anything else. Now, you can say it all came out of an explosion. I would challenge you with this. I think it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe in a designer. I think it's very reasonable to believe that there was a designer behind all of this. You think about all of the ecosystems and the way that they are connected. It really does make sense. But here's the last thing. In all of science, in all the experiments, in all the observations of science, living things have never come from non-living things, ever. You can take amino acids and you can boil those over hot lava and you can try to create a primordial pool and you can watch that thing boil all you want. You can add all kinds of chemicals to it and it doesn't create life. Life never comes from non-life. Living things never come from non-living things. The only thing that we see scientifically is that living things come from something that's alive. And that's all we see. It's all we observe. It's the only logical thing. And the idea that it came from maybe a Big Bang. Now, let me just say this. We believe in the Big Bang. The Big Bang makes sense. For those of you that remember maybe in physics class when you studied the spectrum and you looked through through spectroscopic analysis at the universe, you realize that it's glowing red, and it's glowing red because it's moving away. It's expanding all the time. We believe that there's a Big Bang. There's evidence for it. But the Big Bang won't explain life. The only thing that makes sense is that even with the Big Bang, it was a part of a design, something that was created by a creator. But that life itself can only come from something that's alive. And that one thing, I think, more than just about anything else, is one of the biggest things that you need to consider when it comes to, is it really reasonable to believe what you believe? The origin of life can only happen from a creator. I want to challenge you, if you struggle with these things, if you struggle with, man, I want to believe, but, you know, it's really hard for me, then I want to challenge you to conduct a personal experiment. Forget about what anybody thinks of you. Forget about what anybody has told you. Forget about anything else. If you go, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth in a way that I know it's the truth. Then let me tell you, there is a personal experiment that you can do in regards to that. And it's based on a simple verse, which you have in your outline. Hebrews 11:6. And I want you to read this out loud with me, all right? The writer of Hebrews wrote, "Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Here's the truth. If you're willing to say, God, you know, the only thing that makes sense is that you exist, you're willing to believe that, then if you are willing to believe that God wants you to know who he is, then you've got to believe that he will reward you if you sincerely seek him, that he will reveal himself to you in a way that you can know it's him. and he will do it. Now, when it says sincerely seek him, it doesn't mean that you kind of sit in a room and go, okay, God, if you're real, make that lamp move. Right? What it means is that, God, I really want to know you. And all of my science and all of my thinking isn't helping me to know who you are. I know about you, but I don't know you. And I need you to reveal yourself to me, so I am going to seek you. You go, how do I seek him? Here's a simple suggestion for you. Get a Bible. If you don't own one, take one. They're on the back table there. And just start with the book of John. Look up where it is. Go to the index. Start with the book of John. And there's a lot you're not going to understand. And just open up the book of John and just every day read a chapter and say, God, open up my mind. Help me to know you. And you just begin to read through the book of John. Don't worry about what you don't understand. Focus on where the lights come on for you, because that's what God is revealing. And if you're willing to do that and say, God, open my mind, help me to believe, and you are sincere, God will reveal himself to you in a way that you know it's him. He promises it. He says, you believe in him, and you believe that he rewards you. You come to him like that, he is going to reward you. He's going to respond. Guaranteed, it's going to happen. And when that does, I want you to send an email to us. I'm serious. I want you to say, here's exactly what happened. Now, it might take a month. It might take 6 months. That's all God's timing. The sincerity of your step might get tested. You just keep pressing in. I'm telling you, you just keep pressing in, and you look. Now, in the next trimester, when our summer connection groups start up, another step you could take is join Starting Point, which is a group where you can explore a lot of questions and a lot of things. For a lot of people, the lights came on in Starting Point. But don't wait for that. Start with the book of John. And just come to him and say, God, I really want to know you. If you do that, he'll reveal himself to you. Doesn't matter whether you're 95, whether you're 15, doesn't matter whether you're 5 years old, doesn't matter whether you're 25. The promise is the same. For all those who sincerely seek him and believe that he exists, he's going to reward you for it, okay? So what I want to do is I want to take a moment, and I want to just pray with you. I want you to close your eyes. And I know that some of you here tonight have been in church maybe your whole life, and you like have a sentimental belief in God, and yet you would have to admit that there's this personal connection that has never been there, because though you like so much of the story, there's a part of you that goes, I just can't buy into this, because I can't just turn off my brain. But tonight, maybe you could see that it really makes more sense than you ever realized. And if you are that person that goes, you know, I know all the Bible stuff, but I'm missing that personal connection, then you can, right where you are, tell God, God, even in my religious stuff, I haven't been able to know you. I need you to reveal yourself to me. So God, I open up my mind and my heart. And I really want to know you. So I ask you, reveal yourself to me in a way that I know it's you. Help me to see. And for those of you that have had a hard time because of intellectual issues, and you realize that maybe knowing God is just outside the scope of the way that you know everything else, and tonight, your heart is just crying out and saying, I really want to know him, and I want him in my life, then right where you are, you can say, God, all my science, all my philosophy, all my intelligence has not helped me. has not filled the emptiness, has not satisfied the longing. And I don't know how to get to you. So I need you to reveal yourself to me. I want to believe, but I need your help. So Lord, I choose to believe, number one, that you exist. And number two, that you will respond. So open my mind to help me to know things that I can't know apart from your help. But God, I just humble myself before you. And I declare that I trust you to do just this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And Father, for the beautiful way that you created us to know you and to experience you. Not just emotionally, but with our minds as well, to be able to delight in who you are and to know. And to be able to know things that we couldn't know any other way except by you. For the creative ways that you've worked in so many lives, this room is filled tonight, God, with people. Each one has their own story of how you drew them to you. Each one has their own story of the journey that you led them down to knowing you and experiencing you or bringing you them to this place where they have longed for you and are looking for you. And God, the only way to explain all of us together is your creativity at work to bring us together. So, Father, for the beauty that you create in that, and for the love that you want to share, we just thank you. God, do a great work in our hearts and minds, and help us to be able to answer the questions of our friends, our fellow students, our coworkers that really wrestle with these things. Help us to be a people, Lord, who are ready to give an answer for what we believe in. God, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Let's tell God thank you for his grace towards us. You know, the creativity of God and the genius of God, You just gotta love that and enjoy how he works. And let me encourage you guys, keep pressing into that stuff, all right? Don't ever feel like you've got to turn off your brain to believe. To believe makes so much sense, and it is the very thing that ultimately pulls everything together in life. It's him. It's him. And he'll do it in your life as well. Let's stand up, you guys, and we're going to bless. If you've got kids over in the kids area, let me encourage you. We're getting out a little early, which I noticed none of you is complaining about, and I'm really bothered by that, by the way. Don't go get your kids right away because those teachers have been putting together lessons and things and experiences for the kids, and we don't want to shortcut that. So feel free to chill out, hang out a little bit, and then at quarter after, you can go and get kids if you've got kids and kids program, okay? Do that for us? All right, and don't forget about the Video Access Project. That information is on the back tables as well. Guys, let's bless, all right? May God reveal himself to you in ways that absolutely blow your mind. And may he do it in a way that you know it is him and there is absolutely no other way to be able to explain it. May God open up your heart and your mind in ways for you to know and experience him because it is he that is doing the revealing to you. May this be absolutely revolutionary in your faith and in your life. And may it be so in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have an awesome week, you guys. We'll see you.